and welcome to another edition of the Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast, sponsored by John Banks. For your next new or used vehicle, visit johnbanks.co.uk. I'm Andy Warren, and here is my best friend in the whole world, Stuart Watson. How are you, mate?
That's nice. Are you just saying that because you have no other time for any other friends?
Yep, you're all right, but yes, we spend too much time together. We talk about the same things all the time. We watch the same TV programmes. It's getting weird. But here we are again to talk about football for an hour. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Yeah, I'm fine since I saw you 24 hours or so ago. I'm all right. How are you?
Yes, good. I wasn't at work yesterday, so I had a hope of doing something that Mark Heath might be interested in. Worth saying again, still not here. Don't know where he is at the moment. He's not in the Maldives.
He's back, but he's done that little thing of giving himself a few little extra days just to ease himself back into society and into life. So we'll see him later in the week.
I can also tell that he's not fully back mentally as well, because I saw a Facebook post from him the other night, last night, about him planning his next trip. Did you see this?
I did, yes.
He's going up a mountain.
Everest.
Yeah.
It's not just a mountain.
Is it the mountain? The world's premier mountain?
Yeah.
He asked for people to go and join him.
He's planning his... I think he's got the travel bug, hasn't he? So, yeah. Might be a while till we've got him fully back on board.
I don't think I could do Everest.
No.
I think I'd struggle. But best of luck to him.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll talk about that when he's back.
Can I just tell you quickly about something that I did last night that was really weird? I watched two episodes of Art Attack.
What?
Don't know. I don't know why. Yeah, all sparked by I saw a picture of, you know, do you remember the head on there?
Yeah.
It's the ceramic head. It was just like, hello, the head.
Was he ceramic? I thought he was more like sort of putty or clay.
Well,
or
I don't know what he was. But yeah, so I watched two episodes of Art Attack.
Why?
Why not? He made some really nice stuff on there.
On what viewing?
YouTube.
And what inspired you? What,
the head, just I saw a picture of the head pop up on Twitter, so I thought, well, I need to see this guy in action.
So you watched two episodes?
Watched two episodes, yeah, that's 40 minutes of Art Attack.
Neil Buchanan?
Yeah.
He was also, do you know, Neil Buchanan was in like a heavy metal rock group on the side.
That is quite the pass away from wearing a nice red sweatshirt, doing paper mache and just smothering everything in PVA glue, isn't it?
Is he still with us, Neil?
Yes, he is.
Good. Yeah. Well, there's a new that I watch. My little girl likes to watch one called Mr. Maker, which is essentially Art Attack, the modern version of.
Okay. This is an Art Attack. This is an Art Attack. This is Art Attack. I liked it.
I wasn't expecting this chat this
morning. No, well, I thought I'd just let everybody know.
Before we proceed, there's some loose ends to tidy up from the last podcast, some questions that were unanswered, one of which was the life expectancy of a goose.
Yep. Strangely long, isn't it?
Yeah, also we've discovered there's a domestic goose as well. You can have a domestic goose. What was it again?
30 years, wasn't
it?
Up to 30 years for a goose.
So a goose is for life.
Yeah, and the Munich goose is still doing the rounds.
Still going.
Yeah, I've done. It's Excellent. Got its own TripAdvisor page if you want to check that out. Munich man with goose. Very recent pictures on there. The goose is still doing.
And we've also established that many of our listeners have done the exact same stag do as you have as well.
Absolute madness. At least four other listeners have either been. I think three of them were the stag, which is great, and a couple of others have been on the trip with Lenny, the American drill sergeant, with his kegs of beer. So yeah, nice one.
Good stuff. Do you want to know what I did on my stag? We never discussed that.
No, you didn't. What did you do?
I went on the. We hired a couple of boats for the Norfolk Broads for the weekend, and that was good fun. I was dressed up as a French maid in like some weird PVC thing.
Sexy.
And then another day I was dressed as a dog, essentially had a lead and had to drink all my drinks out of a bowl as we moored at various places. About 3 seconds after we pulled out of the docks, we crashed into a quite expensive yacht. So, yeah, that wasn't ideal. That was me.
Lads out. lads out on the broads.
Yeah.
Love it. Right, should we talk about some football?
Yeah, go on.
Because we enjoyed the football at the weekend. Ipswich Town drew 1-1 at West Brom, and arguably they should have won. Paul Lambert thought that Ipswich should have won 4-1. Darren Moore thought West Brom should have won 4-1. He was then fired. So we were surprised to hear that in the car on the way home. But from an Ipswich perspective, it was really enjoyable, wasn't it? The crowd were good, the team were good, the result was good, and it was all very positive.
Yeah, loved it. Best performance of the season, I think. Kind of tried to think back through in case there was any I'd forgotten, but no, for me, that was the most positive, encouraging afternoon of the season, certainly of the Lambert era. To go to a club like West Brom, who are fourth in the table, and play the way they did not look one bit a team that is bottom of the table. Maybe that is because, you know, their fate is sealed by that Reading game and nothing to lose mentality, and the shackles are off and they played with a bit more freedom. But yeah, it was really, really good stuff, wasn't it? It was good reviewing.
Yeah, both from individual performances, some really good ones, and the system worked as well, which kind of brought the best out of each other, really. But in many ways, it still kind of highlighted why Ipswich aren't winning games, because they conceded a horrible goal and they had chances which they couldn't take. One, the great goal from John Nolan, but there were chances to win it and they couldn't take them. But the results don't really matter at this stage, so it's all about performances and positives, and there were plenty of those. Should we run through a few of the players that were particularly notable?
Yep.
You go first. I'm about to cough.
Do a little. Oh, there we go. Excellent.
There we go. I won't edit that out.
Well, I think man of the match, we all agreed, was John Nolan. Best performance in an Ipswich Town shirt so far. He's got better and better during this run in the side. Five successive starts now. He started against Norwich, came off the bench against Derby, scored. Now five straight starts off the back of that. And he's looking like the player that we all hoped he would be when Paul Hurst paid, what, 1.25 million, 2 million for him and Toto, and we think that was the breakdown. I thought he bossed it in midfield, absolutely bossed it. There was one crunching tackle in his own box early on, so he's got that sort of energetic, tenacious part of his game as well. We saw that was his kick that started the brawl in the East Anglian derby, wasn't it? But more than that, it was his touch, it was his possession game, and the goal kind of capped it all off, really.
Yeah, some bits of vision in there as well. Colin Quayner had a really good chance at the end of the first half, didn't he? And that was from a John Nolan sort of ball over the top, which got him in behind. He just keeps the ball moving, and often you don't notice what he's doing because it's simple. Simple pass and move. He quite regularly has the most, I don't think he actually did in this game, but quite regularly has the most touches of an Ipswich player when he's on the pitch, and his pass completion rate is quite considerably the best.
It's normally around 80%.
Yeah, it was 84 in this one, so even better than his usual high standards there. So, yeah, a few more goals like that. That was his first ever header, he reckons, even including under-9s football, all the way up from there, first ever headed goal. But he's clearly got goals in him. It's just maybe a confidence thing, do we think? Lambert's spoken about him, about convincing him that he can do it and things like that.
Possibly, yeah. I just think, like him and a lot of the players that came last summer, I think even at the peak of anger around the situation that Ipswich got themselves in, that was, Paul Hurst has put us in this position, the players he signed are not good enough, you sign lower league, that's where you end up. I think even at the peak of all of that, we took a step back and said, actually, there's some players here that could and will come good over time. And Nolan was, I think, at the top of that list. We'd seen enough from him. But likewise, we're both fans of Ellis Harrison. I think we've seen enough from him that he can come good. I thought Jackson had his best game after he came on at half time. Okay, the finishing touches weren't there. Didn't have his shooting boots on, but maybe that comes with a run of games. That for me, that was one of the biggest takeaways from the weekend, that Edwards started and I thought had looked back to his kind of early season form. So if they can get some of those Hurst signings finding their feet, heading back into League One, that would be a massive plus over this last game.
Quick chat about Bart as well. It's probably his best game of the season as well. Four really good saves in there. All, and more than that, there was, I think, end of the first half, he came out for one really good punch, which he got above the striker and punched it away, and a couple of good high balls claimed in the air as well. A good all-round performance from him. Couldn't do anything about that goal.
Yeah, bit of a reminder there. I thought Ipswich were the better team, no doubt about it. I mean, the scoreline could have been anything. You touched on what both managers said earlier. But Johnson's made some good saves with his legs at the other end as well. But yeah, Bart's made some great saves, and it's a kind of a reminder of perhaps how reliant they had become on him. How, you know, a lot of games that they'd lost this year, maybe they'd have drawn, you know, in previous years under Mick McCarthy, because Bart comes to the rescue. Goodness knows how many points he's saved Ipswich prior to this season. And had they had the Bart of you know, the last previous couple of years, maybe they wouldn't be in the position they're in.
I must apologise. This cough, I'm convinced I've caught the Ipswich Town virus, because it just appeared, didn't it? After, I'll tell you what, how it appeared. I went off on my little merry travels. I normally go off at football grounds to somehow find the touchline. I just walked through the tunnel again. I'm not supposed to do that, but I walked down through the away dressing room area down by the tunnel. And by the time I got out there, I have the sniffles and a bit of a cough. I think I've just caught this Ipswich, the virus, which they just seem to...
You've been infected.
I think I have.
It seems to... Everyone seems to have had it now. Downs called off ill on the morning of the game, I'm told. So Tristan Nydam, who'd started at Barnsley the previous lunchtime...
Yeah.
...suddenly got called into the squad, so... I assume he'd come all the way back to Ipswich and then went straight across to West Brom. And Darba as well was a late call-up. They put him in the squad just in case. Wasn't obviously amongst the bench. But, yeah, they can't ship this, can they? Two months.
And like Pennington said, as well?
Pennington's the latest as well. It's bizarre. I think... I'm not really sure how that happens.
Oh, well, I think it's a defective water issue at the training ground. Yeah. They need to look at their water supply.
But you literally got it. You were fine on the drive.
Absolutely
up,
fine.
And then you came to meet me in the press room and had an instant cold.
Yeah,
so.
I think it must just be a flying virus. Should we quickly talk about Darren Moore? And that was all a bit of a surprise, wasn't it?
Mm.
About 7:15, we had the radio on, and Robbie Savage screamed at us, "Breaking news!" Which is how you need all of your news delivered to you. But yeah, Darren Moore was fired after that, after not beating Ipswich at home. But it's obviously three games without a win, two defeats, and then that draw. They dropped out of the automatics.
Yeah.
Automatic race.
I think West Brom, one of my best mates is a West Brom fan, and his reaction was sort of shock and then sadness that Darren Moore is obviously a club legend, someone that's really done what Lambert's done, really tried to ingrain himself in the fabric of the club and connect with the community, and he's done all that sort of stuff. But it's a reminder of just how ruthless this business is, and you know, the pot of gold that the Premier League is. It would be easy to sit here and say ridiculous, you know, football's gone mad, but the finances are what they are. West Brom, if you don't get back quickly, then your parachute payments are gone, and you can't. There's no room for sentiment in the game, like it or not. And also, I think we've seen from our own perspective here that unless you've been watching it week in, week out, it's very easy for outsiders to kind of make a judgment on, be careful what you wish for. And there'll be lots of people now hoping they end up with egg on their face. But we saw that it was a little bit more nuanced here with Mick McCarthy leaving and everyone kind of having a dig at Ipswich fans, and it wasn't quite as simple as that. So maybe it's not quite as simple there.
The poor guy, he did his like press conference though after having, it sounds like he'd been told that he'd lost his job, and still went up and did his pressers like nothing had happened. That must be really difficult to... Well, I wasn't actually in it. What was he like? I heard the radio version of what he did, and it was
Paul had kind of come in first, so I kind of put myself at the back of the room and had my headphones in, was typing up Paul Lambert and had half an ear on Darren Moore, but he wasn't talking like a man who'd just been told he was sacked. He was talking about the next game and putting things right and all that sort of stuff. So if he had been told, and it's been reported he was told in the dressing room afterwards,
at 5:20 they say,
a remarkable acting job. Didn't look like he knew at that point to me, but
I was standing in the corridor. I wasn't allowed back in because he was kind of ongoing, and I heard him say on the way out, he just said that must have been, I bet that was weird, hearing me asking questions, answering questions to his press officer as they left. So, but seems like a lovely guy. Hope he gets back in soon. Have you got a big question to ask? Have you thought of one? Because Mark's not here. I do feel rudderless without him. He keeps us in.
Is now the time for one? Do you want me to do
one?
Yeah,
do one now. Let's do one now. We've got some more football to chat about, but let's do one of life's big questions first.
Stu's big question.
Question.
I just had to add the third one. It's always three.
Is it always three? Sorry, I've not played that part very often.
I'm going to ask you a big question, and this is, you've asked me for one of life's big questions, so I'm going to hit you with something, because I put you onto a documentary that you watched last night, actually.
Yeah.
It's called Three Identical Strangers, which was on Channel 4, probably a little while ago now, but it's great if you haven't watched it, but it's about triplets separated at birth, reunited at 19. But it really brings up the debate of nature v nurture. And I want to know, Andy...
Yes, this is deep.
This is deep. And I like to go deep sometimes.
Yeah.
Nature v nurture. What's the biggest influence?
Ooh. Well, I think nurture's the biggest... I think... I don't know where to go with this.
Go wherever you nurture. Want. We're not just about football.
People have had a big impact on me in life. All different people from all different realms. And they're not part of my nature. They're part of my nurture. Mm. They've been there as part of my life. And looking at me like this is some kind of group therapy session. People have had good impacts on me. People have had bad impacts on me. And they've come into my life kind of naturally. And... I would say nurture is a bigger driver in what makes a person than nature.
Agreed. If I had to put a percentage on it,
okay, please
do. I'm talking 10%.
10%
genetics.
Yeah.
90% nurture.
To put a football slant on it, we talk about players with natural talent, don't we? But it needs someone to nurture that talent. You've got your natural talent. You've got your pure ability. He was born to score goals, but you need someone. They've been nurtured. They've not just stepped onto football pitches and do it. They're nurtured by coaches. That's probably not the most important aspect of the nature v nurture debate in terms of football. But this is. I wasn't expecting something
so
deep.
I think these shouldn't just be silly sort of like who's the best Superman every week. Sometimes we can discuss these sort of things. What I have found is, have you found, the older you get, I'm becoming more and more like my dad. Now I've become a father myself and I'm in my 30s.
Yes.
And is that inescapable? Like, the more you kind of tell yourself you're not going to end up like your parents, and I'm now starting to dress a bit like a dad. certain mannerisms, certain things.
Me, my dad and my brother all sit the same, which is exactly like these triplets did, didn't they? They obviously hadn't seen each other ever until they were 19, but they all had the same mannerisms. There were some other twins on there that all had the same mannerisms. We all sit the same when we're sitting down. It's like this, by the way. Sit back, folded arms. That's
defensive body language.
That's how the Warrens sit. That's okay. Just how we sit. I'm like, that. Maybe that's my 10%.
On the subject of the Warrens, I have got, before we move on, an apology to make for some of the comments I made regarding the chat and your brother last week. I'm sure he's heard it many, many times before, and bruv, I apologise. Just wanted to put that out there.
We'll leave a little bit of silence here just for that to sink in. I'm seeing him tonight, so I'll pass that on.
Thank you.
In person.
Back to the football?
Yeah. What should we talk about now? Because there was one... We've got the mailbag, obviously. There was one question from the mailbag, which I really like. So I thought it was worth extracting it.
I'll load that up. Maybe we could do... Because we've got international break coming up. We could do... Last time we did crisps as a non-football one. This time we could just go like deep and meaningful. We can talk about parallel universes, space.
All right.
We can do conspiracy theories.
Yeah, I'm up for that. Well, because we're more than just crisps, and people got peg us at just being crisp people. We're more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was one question in the mailbag which I really liked, and I was thought it was worth extracting and talking more about before we get into the official mailbag section. And that was from the Hartful Dodger, Daniel Hart, who asked for if we've just been put in charge of an Ipswich Town five-a-side team, and from the current squad, we have to pick. Pick our five-a-side team from the current squad, and I've just caught a glimpse of yours, and it is we've got four of the same five players in there, and it's really concerning.
More evidence that we are becoming the same person, worrying me.
Shall I give you Daniel's first?
This is Daniel's.
Yeah, this is what Daniel put. Daniel put Dean Gherkin in goal, slightly better distribution than Pennington, than Bartosz Białkowski.
Pennington in goal would be left field.
That would be, but Paul Gallagher played in goal. Would you put Paul Gallagher in goal for a Preston five-a-side team? Maybe on that evidence. Pennington, the one defender, better of the ball-playing defenders probably. And then the attacking three is Bishop, Judge, Keane. That's his.
Okay.
That's his three. But
so I've got two of the five the same as Daniel.
And I've got one of the five. I like Daniel's team. I think they'll do all right. It's a little bit different to mine, but I wish we could see this in action. Just like we could manage a couple of five-a-side teams against each other and see how we get on.
Yeah.
We could draft them.
That would be the way of doing it. Do you want to start? Or?
I'll start and then you can explain the one difference. Then we can. So in goal, we've both put Harry Wright in goal.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure many people won't have seen Harry play. Son of Richard. Good goalkeeper. But he's exceptionally good with his feet. And I want that. I want that in my team because he can act as a bit of a sweeper at the back.
Agreed.
And he's a little bit smaller as well.
Yeah, he's probably about 5'10".
Which five-a-side goals are we playing in? Are we playing in the really low, wide ones? Or the
hockey goals?
Yeah, the kind of smaller, just a smaller goal. Or the really annoying low, wide ones.
For me, like, I know everyone plays at these sort of goal centres and stuff now, and they're little like box goals, aren't they? But for me, five-a-side are those like rectangle, you know, wide goals. That's five aside.
And are you allowed in the area?
I'll in the area, but under head height.
Because the last five aside team I played in, we actually played futsal. It was futsal.
It's like a heavier ball.
But they never had the right ball. Mm. It was always just like, here's a normal ball. But you're allowed in the area and all sorts. Anyway, Harry Wright in goal. I would put Trevor Chalabar as my defender. Played there for Chelsea. Also incredibly good on the ball. A bit more forwardly mobile. And then a forward three of Teddy Bishop and Jack Lancaster. Put John Nolan in there as well. Daniel said to have Keane in there for his hold-up play. But I actually think I think Nolan could play that role in five-a-side, not necessarily holding up, but make Nolan the focal point of that attacking three, and he can pop the ball off to Bishop and Lancaster. Mm.
So I've gone for no hold-up play in mine at all. So I've got the same team as you. Right, I had Chalabar at the back, although I toyed with having Cole Skews as my sort of defender, because I think he, in five-a-side, you need someone who smells danger, the interceptor.
Yeah.
Because it's like break, counter-break, counter-break, and Skews would be the one that would just be sweeping up and just be in there in the right place at the right time. So I'd let you have Chalabar if you want, and I'll have Skews at the back.
All right, then.
I've got Bishop. You've got to have Bishop in the side.
Got to have him.
Twinkle toes, running at people. I've got Lancaster in there as well. Similar thing. I've got to have Alan Judge in there as well, man, for his energy everywhere, popping up. He'll get you a goal. There's not much physicality. There's not much hold-up play there, but they'd be a joy to watch.
I want to see these teams, but they can't play against each other because they're all the same people. But I'd quite like to see it. It's a bit of five-a-side, not just on the training pitch though, in proper five-a-side environment. I want to see that. Maybe we could do that in pre-season.
I'll give you Lancaster if you want, and I'll put Downs in because I think Downs would just not stop running. And I think you know when you're trying to sort of run the clock down and you're going into the best part of five-a-side is when someone gets boxed in the corner and they're shielding it, and Downs would just go in there just booting your ankles repeatedly.
There are a few players in that Ipswich squad that probably wouldn't enjoy five-a-side so much, aren't there? Like your Luke Chambers, not really a five-a-side man, is he? Caden Jackson, I don't think, would enjoy it too much because he haven't got the space to get that sprint, the big sprint going that he's got.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Right, that's that.
That is that.
Do you want some more mailbag?
Yeah, let's move on to the official mailbag section.
Mailbag needs a jingle. Do you want to make one up?
Mailbag. It's time for Andy and Stu to dip into the mailbag. Doo-doo.
We'll work on that.
That's it. That's the way we do things here. You do things once, and that's it. Decided. We're going with that. Yep. Right.
Good. You can clip that up.
Then. Mailbag. It's time for Andy and Stu to dip into the mailbag.
Right.
Boop, boop.
Joe Furs. Friend of the show? He's been on the show before your time, actually, I think. Joe Furs came in as a guest.
Oh, that changes things then, because if you're on the show, you're straight on the list.
Right.
So, yes. That list will be made public when Mark's back. Okay. The list exists. Joe is now on it because...
I believe Joe came on with Terry Butcher, actually. We did a pre-season one.
Was it called Kings of Anglia podcast at that time?
Oh, good question.
If you've been on it since it's called the Kings of Anglia, you are that your friend of the show.
Okay. Joe asks, is there anyone you think will be sold for a decent fee in the summer? Is there a chance Bishop now might be if he carries on performing well?
I think people will start to notice Teddy Bishop again now.
He signed his contract. Yeah. I think he'll be aware that this is a club that knows his injury background, that will know how to handle him, that he needs more than anything a run of games. Maybe if his star rises back to what it was done, where it was before, further down the line, I'm not sure that will happen this summer.
I think even if he plays the next 10 games for the rest of the season, I still think it would be a bit of a gamble for a club to commit a significant fee to sign a player who's played so little football for 3 years. And that's a positive for Ipswich. I can keep Teddy Bishop fit. There aren't many players that are like him in the third tier of English football. If they can keep him fit, he'll be an almost unique kind of player at that level. He could be the best player in the league if he wants to be.
For me, the ones that they could cash in on would be Bart. I think they may even have to look at his wages. There's not many sort of financial millstones around their neck. Hughes would be one, but he's injured, so there's not a lot you can do about that. Bart would be the one. You're not going to get anywhere near the money you would have got for him last year. And Dazelle, I think, would be, if you're going to cash in on any of the crown jewels, the youngsters, then looking at it, his sort of lack of game time under Lambert thus far, do they think that he'll be the right type of player for League One? Do they think that he'll fit into the type of system that Lambert's playing? On current evidence, no, but that may change over the next 10 games.
I also think with Andre, I think people would be surprised at the level of fee that people are willing to offer for Andre Dazelle. Sadly, I think we've been talking. I think there's a view that a team would happily splash million upon million on him. I'm not sure that would be the case. I hope it isn't the case. I hope he's here and I hope he's playing, because he's a young man that needs to, whatever he's doing next season, I just hope he's playing wherever it is, because he's got to play. He'll be 20 next year.
Yeah.
Or this season, whenever he's 20, but he needs to play.
Yeah. Someone who loves the game, which sounds really glib, but not all footballers are students and complete lovers of the game, but Andre lives and breathes it by all accounts.
Yeah.
And Jason has always sort of said that he wants him to make it at Ipswich, and I think had he not been son of Jason, then he might have been spirited away before now. But more than anything, everybody around Andre and Andre himself just wants to be playing games. He loves the game, so that may change his thought process if that's not going to be the case.
So Bart and Andre, they're the two we think.
I can't think of any others. I think
teams could chance their arm and think that it's a chance to pick up people like Towns and Lancaster from relegated teams. But I think Ipswich have made. I think the way that Ipswich are talking, it's very clear that they would resist those kind of chance your arm. Let's chuck some money at a relegated club, hope that they need the cash, and I think they would resist those because it's so clearly a fundamental part of the plan to come back rather than investing in older veteran players. It's about those young players, and you have to have them at the club if you're going to exercise your plan.
Yeah, I think there'll probably be a few put out on loan. The other thing would be if Lambert's decided that certain players aren't for him, then he might, someone like some of the, one or two of the Hurst signings, like Danasian,
isn't it?
Even Toto, someone like that. If he doesn't feel that they're the right player for him, then they might, you know, take whatever they can get for someone like that, so he can get in his own players, possibly.
Yep, not impossible.
Breadcrumb Mark. Yeah.
Oh, Crummy, the Crumster.
Mark wants to know, as we are 99.9% certain to go down, do you now play fringe youth who have already played, like Dazelle, Naidam, Emmanuel, etc., for the rest of the season, or focus on giving debuts to the recent Pro Deal Academy kids?
I think we're a little way off the debuts for the new the Pro Academy players, aren't we? That's kind of, although the last two games of the season are not, they're not dead rubbers for the opposition. I'd actually be surprised if many of those youngsters actually did play this season. I think that they're maybe ones to work in during pre-season next year. Mm-hmm. And I don't think either that you suddenly starting Dazelle, Naidam, Emmanuel every week as well. I think you need to be careful about the situations you put them in, and put them into situations where they're going to have the best chance to impress you as well. Like Naidam, I think we might see Naidam from the bench at some time soon, but I think he's quite clearly looking to work a midfield of Skews, Nolan, Bishop, Judge. They're the players that he's looking to gel for next season. I wouldn't be surprised if Naidam had to wait, if I'm honest. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think it will kind of be phased over the next few games. He'll pick his moments when to dip some of these players in. I think you could get them up to speed, but you could also damage them, you know. Psychologically, relegation kind of leaves its mark on people, and some of these fringe players haven't been tainted by that. You know, is it best to kind of wait and, like you say, use pre-season to bring them in? Jack Lancaster didn't get sort of the end of season game time. You know, he was away on loan at Bury, and then he comes into it in pre-season and then has his breakthrough from there. So yeah, I think you're right about the first year pros. That will be the last few games, if at all. And then, yeah, I think he will start to sort of dip in Dazelle, Naidam, Emmanuel, etc. At the right moments. Tuesday night, for example, I think there will be a few changes. I can see that team coming out, the team sheet, and people going, why has he made so many changes after such a good performance on Saturday? But they put so much work into that, so much effort, covered so much ground in that game, that I think he will, A, want to freshen it up for that reason, B, use it as a chance to have a look at some players that he hasn't had a look at, and C, he's got to be careful with people like Teddy Bishop. I think Teddy got a bit of a kick to the calf. I can see him, just for his own good, being taken out. I mean, there was people going, why? My only gripe with Saturday was Teddy getting taken off with 20 minutes to go and bringing Dawkins on, who's another one that we might see a bit more of. But, you know, those same people would be screaming blue murder if Teddy Bishop had pulled up in the last 10 minutes, you know, the way he's playing. So that's just being practical.
Can I give you a D as well to your list of reasons? You've done an A, a B, a C. I'll give you a D as well. I think they need to prioritise home games at the moment as well. I think it's really important that if they're gonna backing up the West Brom performance, for me, comes in the game of Nottingham Forest at the weekend rather than a game at promotion chasing Bristol City on a Tuesday evening. I think they need to be on it for home games, because that's a big part of the club's future as well, is ensuring that goodwill and season tickets and everything like that. Get that team up for a home game. If you're gonna rest players and dip them out, do that at Bristol, get them firing for Forest.
I agree. I'm slightly concerned that Tuesday night might be a little bit after the Lord Mayor's show, long trip. But I'd rather then see them back at it on Saturday in front of their own fans. Dave Cortine asks if we'd seen the information about Ipswich's finances compared to other Championship clubs. Tweeted by Kieran Maguire, a lecturer in football finance this week. Kieran had a long chat, I think, with Benjamin Bloom, didn't he? Ben did a big bit on sort of championship finances.
Across the whole league.
Across the whole league with Kieran. So we had the financial highlights, inverted commas, if that's the right word, from Ipswich Town back in November, December time. Now the full set of accounts have been lodged with Companies House, so you can download them. It's not really told us anything more than we didn't already know, but Kieran's kind of put those finances up against the other clubs, and it kind of says what we already knew, really, that Ipswich's wage bill was in 18th out of all of the clubs, that Marcus Evans' £6 million a year on average is small fry compared to the rest of the league, that more and more clubs just are chasing the dream. And
yeah, there's one of his graphs he put out which showed the average loss per week of clubs that ultimately go up, and then compare that to the rest of the league. For the last couple of seasons, the three teams promoted for the championship were losing £500,000 a week, and Marcus Evans is only putting in £160,000 a week to cover Ipswich Town losses, which is a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I wish I had £160,000 to put into anything every week, but that's a big difference, isn't it?
It just
shows what we already knew.
Yeah, it is what it is. As I've said before, Marcus is stuck with Ipswich just as much as Ipswich is stuck with Marcus. Yes, his money is not making them competitive. His finances of Ipswich have stood still financially, and everyone else has moved on, and he's not able to keep pace with it. So that is what it is until somebody else comes along that can prove that they will put in more money than Marcus, and more importantly will give him assurances that they, in writing, that they will do it over a set period of time and not just over a couple of years and disappear, then that's not going to change.
Nope.
We've done five-a-side stuff.
Yep.
Ippy man. Could Nolan Bishop-Skues be the answer in League One as a midfield three? Looks the best balance we've had, supplemented with Downs and Dizel, perhaps.
Yes, I like it. If you played those as a midfield three, you then have a bit of a conundrum to what to do with Judge, assuming he's still here. What the result of that the weekend was playing him as a kind of nominal left winger, but he didn't spent very much time on the left wing. He was here, there and everywhere, but it was a good performance, and I like that as a midfield three, definitely.
Yeah. Or a diamond and stick Judge at the tip of that, which we've seen as well, definitely. Which allows it to become a midfield four. But yeah, they look like the core of a very good midfield there. I think midfield for years has been probably the crux of Ipswich's problems, why they've been not particularly enjoyable to watch. They've now sorted the midfield. Now they've got problems at both ends of the pitch. They can, you know, conceded rubbish goals, not been clinical enough up front. There's a second part to this question from Ippy Man. He says, is Keane, Harrison, Jackson, Lancaster, brackets, Sears, went back from injury obviously, a good enough strike force to win League One? Or do we need better? I don't know about winning League One, but
I think as long as you're supporting whatever group of those lads you're playing with goals from midfield, I think that would be a competitive strike force in League One. I'd really like them to see a proven 20 goal a season goal scorer brought in the summer. Obviously Will Keane isn't that, because he's not been able to be on the field consistently enough to do it, and they're hard to find, but I think that would make a real difference to Ipswich.
Yeah, they don't come cheap, and they're not easy to find. I'd be surprised if Ipswich can go out and sign someone with that sort of proven goal record, but I think Will Keane has the potential to be that player. I'd like to see him signed. If they can sign him, he's someone you'd be taking a bit of an injury risk, but in League One I think he could be excellent with his pedigree. Chuck him in the mix and I think you're there really as a strike.
They've got to score goals from all over the pitch, and that's not what they've not managed to do for quite some time. I want goals from the middle of midfield and a few more headers like that from John Nolan, and if Alan Judge can find his shooting boots, it doesn't matter where the goals come from as long as you score them. So find your shooting boots, Alan, and signed that contract as well.
Yeah. Craig F. Fims 75 asks, an inkling about the cleansing, which will become more apparent in a few months. Will the season... anything really out there is... really cheap season tickets, question mark, subsidised travel to away matches. So he's just asking about what the cleansing, Paul using the word cleansing, means, and whether it's, have we got any inkling as to what that might be, really?
I think it's not the literal, I don't think Paul has put the word cleanse forward as a literal use of the word cleanse necessarily, which is kind of ridding yourself of bad, infective issues. I think it's more practice and doing things sustainably and doing things sensibly with a bit more planning and thought, mainly around building a squad without loans and temporary players. I think that's more what he's looking at, if I'm honest. There are no bad eggs to get out of that squad, are there?
No. Mick had to do that when he first arrived without... You know, we know the issues that Michael Chopra had away from football. Paul Taylor,
some right naughty
bad,
boys in
bad
there.
Headlines.
Naughty.
I remember speaking to Luke Chambers at the start of the Mick era, or maybe when the Mick era was starting to peak, and he was talking about getting some numpties out of the club and things like that. And as a captain, he wasn't happy with certain things. So, whatever you think of Mick, one of his big legacies is that he's, you know, he put the club on a stable footing in terms of the type of people in the dressing room and the culture around the place. You're right, not in the literal sense, but yeah, getting away from this short-termism that the club has kind of put this club in, the kind of Groundhog Day cycle that it's found itself in. Beckenbauer is spelled.
Oh, I thought it was actually Franz Beckenbauer.
No, his Twitter handle is Beak in the Box. In your opinions, judging on recent performances, if Paul Lambert had 20 games left rather than 10, would he keep Ipswich up?
Ooh, 20 games, where would that take us back to? Where in the year would we be? Honestly, I
just under half a season.
Yeah. He's had that many games and he's not kept them up. But if you started the season from now with 20 games, I still think they'd be struggling because they would have lost the games against Reading, and you have to win those games. Mm. You almost need to travel back in time and give yourself another mulligan go over at those games with Reading and things like that.
But if the gap was 12 points now, and just say that the season was extended by 10 games... Could they make up a 12-point gap?
I think they would be fully in the fight. To use a Lambert expression, they would be in the fight, very much so.
So that would suggest that they would be able to cut, that come the end of the season, they're making a charge at it, but they just run out of time.
I think that's what it would be, if I'm honest.
I'm not convinced, if I'm honest. I think it's turning. Definitely it is turning, and I think... time was always going to be against them because he had to go and do something in January, but the type of players that you can get in January are coming for a reason. So it was always going to take a few weeks. So January was pretty much a write-off. Like, suddenly this team is now starting to get themselves together sort of from February onwards. I still think they need the benefits of a pre-season and sorting a few things out before we really start to see the fruits of the labour. I'm not convinced that over these last 10 games we're going to suddenly see a remarkable run of wins at any stage.
Oh no. Well, I think the trouble is that the traffic, that even if the gap, if they were 22nd and they were chasing down the team in 21st at 12 points, that would be a completely different scenario. Is it seven a points adrift of the bottom of the table at the moment?
Yeah,
it's been out of their hands really for so long that it's just been so difficult. We always talk about the gap to safety, but there's always two teams between them and that gap, and it's too much. But you know, I think if the season was a bit longer, they might be able to reel a couple more in, but it's not. So.
Yeah. Bit of a debate going on about safe standing. think it's something that Ipswich have...
That's a fire engine going past the studio.
Still going. Safe standing. I think that's something that Ipswich have kind of led the discussion on, actually, saying that they would consider or broadly be supportive of. Ross Wishart asked about it. Would they consider converting the Sir Bobby Robson Lower into a terrace, improve atmosphere? John Darch replies, sadly, the all-seater rule does apply in League One to any club that previously had to go all-seater by virtue of having played 3+ seasons at Tiers 1 or 2 since 1990.
Yeah, there's grace periods for those coming up from non-league football for terrace and other such things. So it's, they can't do it unless the law is changed. Mm. But
there'll be some away grounds where Ipswich fans will have terracing. We've seen that already at Accrington this season. So something a bit different for fans, creates a bit of a different environment, a different atmosphere, doesn't it? Matt Thomas, where do you think the club should pitch season tickets next season? Assuming League One.
We've talked about this one before, haven't we?
Yeah.
In terms of the difficult debate that they've got between ensuring that fans are enthused by the price of their season ticket, and also the fact that Ipswich need the money. It's such an important part of their budget now, important anyway, but even more important now that they bring in that money through the turnstiles, because that's the big revenue stream, because the TV money's effectively gone.
Yeah.
Slashed there, so...
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think there's going to be an almighty drop in season ticket prices, but I can see that sort of the crowd, the same number renewing anyway.
Did people stop coming because of how much it cost, or did they stop coming because they weren't enjoying it? I think it's the latter. To be honest,
you only think about the cost. That the cost really, like, if you can afford a season ticket and you value your football like that, you pay it. The cost becomes an issue, and you're not enjoying it anymore. And I think people are enjoying it now. I still think that there'll be a cut in there. It might not be huge, but it'll be a cut. And for me, whenever I've had a season ticket before, it's not been about the money. It's been about enjoying it with the people that I go with.
Yeah, season ticket is still good value, isn't it? By the time you divide that over 23 games, it works out at, what, £15 a ticket, something like that. So, I don't know, 10% reduction last year. It's going to have to be another reduction because they're going down a level, so anyone sort of talking about 30-40% I think need to be realistic. I think another 10-15% would be more than fair with a few incentives on top.
I was thinking about this as well. There's going to be so many games at Portman Road next year with early rounds of cups. You've got the Checker Trade Trophy, which is a group stage at the beginning.
Yeah.
They could chuck in a few free Checker Trade tickets for season ticket holders. You'd normally have to pay for your cup ticket, don't you? Chuck in a few of them.
Some horribly low crowds for some of those games, weren't there?
Yeah, we can fully dissect that.
And also,
tournament.
Whisper it quietly, the prospect of playing Norwich City under 23s in that competition.
Yeah, Norwich would need to shudder. They didn't enter a team this year, but they have previously entered a 23s team in that competition. That would be horrible.
Let's not think about that.
I think it would probably have to be at Portman Road as well, because those 23 teams, they don't really play home games. They're mainly on the road.
I think they have to play one of their games at home, but it's between the clubs to kind of decide. So, yeah. I don't even want to think about
it. I guess if Norwich under 23s fancied had to play a home game, they probably would want that home game to be against Ipswich Town, wouldn't they?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, let's leave that one. That hopefully won't happen because it'll be horrible.
Kevin Hyam, a few weeks ago you seemed reasonably positive that Judge would sign. Do you still have the same positivity given his recent performances and recent call-up to Ireland?
I don't think the call-up to Ireland hasn't really changed what I think about the Alan Judge situation at all. If you look at that squad of Mick McCarthy's for the two Ireland games they're playing recently, there's a striker currently playing in League Two in there. There's three or four players playing in League One in there. Alan Judge needs to play, and his best chance of playing at Euro 2020 next summer is to be playing games every single week in the position that he wants to play in and is most effective. He needs to play. He's got more chance of getting in that Ireland squad as playing 40 games for Ipswich next season than he has of playing 28 as a substitute for Millwall. So I don't think the Ireland thing changes. changes anything. If for me,
agreed. I don't know if you talked about whether I'm reasonably positive. Yeah, I think reasonably positive sums it up. There's an element of doubt there, but I'm still hopeful. Right. Oh, something a bit lighter.
Yes.
Andy Grimes, 22. What is the most important element of a full English breakfast? We consume many of these on our travels. Thoughts?
Most important? I don't know if you're talking structurally or the bit that I like the best. They're different. That's a different thing.
Take it as you will.
I'm going to give you two answers. Thing I like the best, sausage. Most important thing is your choice of egg, because that can completely change the outlook of a breakfast for me. Have it with some scrambled egg, becomes a bit lighter. That becomes the centrepiece of your breakfast. You don't have so much around it. It's on the toast rather than around the toast. Changes structurally. I love sausages.
Stop saying that. Every week you do something that can be clipped up. Can somebody clip up all these things that Andy says?
All right, Mr. Big Porker. You're the big porker in all this.
You love sausages, yeah. We've established that.
Okay.
I've seen you eat 6 or 7 on an away trip where you've done a few on the journey up. You've had a big breakfast, then we get there and there's sausage and mash at a ground, and you've done a few more.
But yeah, eggs. I think eggs.
Scrambled is always the answer for me.
I love poached eggs. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
I love poached eggs. But they don't really have a place on a full English breakfast. No. I don't really like a full English breakfast, if I'm honest. I like a kind of smaller version of that. What about you, Stu?
Sausage is the obvious answer, the most important thing. A good sausage or a bad sausage makes or breaks an English breakfast.
You know who does a bad sausage? The OK Diner. Yeah. Really bad sausage.
Yeah, thin, cheap.
Don't know what's in it.
No.
Yeah.
Pork content would be low, I imagine.
Lots of gristle.
Mm.
Good question.
Kevin Mays, which grounds are you most looking forward to and least looking forward to visiting next year? I am assuming the assumption is it will be League One. That's a fair assumption. So, what are you looking forward to, Andy?
Bolton. No, not
Ridiculous.
The one that I'm most looking forward to is Bristol Rovers. I know some people don't like Bristol Rovers. In the winter, it's not particularly pleasant. It's quite open and very windy. But when the sun is shining at the Memorial, it's lovely. Really good atmosphere, really good people.
It's like a rugby ground.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. It's great.
Worst ones... Blackpool, we could do without going back to Blackpool.
Yeah.
Bad memories of losing, what was it, 5 or 6-0?
6, yeah.
I was really, really ill the last time they went there. They played Carlisle in the Cup a few days later, which went to extra time, and they lost in extra time. And we stayed up there, Blackpool through to Carlisle, and I was pig sick. And yeah, that was just few days.
If they're going to do... There's obviously Fleetwood in there as well. They could put them together, couldn't they?
And Plymouth, too far.
Yeah. Gillingham. I don't like going to Gillingham.
Depressing.
I don't think the fans will enjoy the open away end at Gillingham either, if it's particularly miserable.
Yeah. Sunderland, if they stay in there, obviously bad for Ipswich in terms of, you know, hopes of getting back up. But I've got good memories of going there, because the last time I left Sunderland, I left with a free crate of beer. That was the hospitality. They just said, all this beer's left over from... It was a League Cup game. I went there with Colchester. So obviously, hospitality was down. There wasn't a great rush to go and see that game from the expensive seats. So yeah, here you go, lads. Take these with you for the journey.
Nice.
So that would be nice. Wickham's nice, down in a valley,
in the causeway,
quite picturesque, not too far. Oxford, new grounds for me would be Shrewsbury, Scunthorpe, Fleetwood, Oxford if they stay up, and AFC Wimbledon, who are definitely going down.
Yeah, that's a shame. I'm sad that they're going down. I'd like to have gone to them. Oxford, I think Oxford's an interesting concept. There's just a wooden wall behind one of the ground, behind one of the stands, which they've just never built. Quite a nice stadium otherwise. Press box is really far towards one of the boxes though. Like, you're kind of watching from the corner, which is interesting. New view, but you do get a good view of the car park And at least two or three balls end up hitting cars in that car park during the game. So that's always good.
Good.
Down the Kassam.
Matteo Roberto Leo, 3.9.
Interesting.
That's a long old name. Aside from the obvious, brackets Downs, Nydam, etc., which youth prospects can genuinely add something to the team next season? Matteo thinks Coriandaba and Barry Cotter.
Cotter's a different kettle of fish. We'll talk about him in a minute. But Ndaba, I do like Ndaba. He's got a lot to learn, but he's got all the raw attributes of a young centre back. Left foot as well. Add a bit of balance, which Lambert clearly likes. Interesting. What do we think about Barry Cotter?
A little bit perplexed by his kind of Ipswich Town journey thus far. He was immense on that debut night against Barnsley, the infamous night of, and I'm out of here.
Can we hear more about that, please, Mick?
Yeah. That was exactly how I sounded, yeah.
Excuse me, Mick. Can we hear more about that?
Don't go. Yeah, he was so good, wasn't he? He was like marauding right wing back that was just everything he did, like pinging diagonals, running at people. I fear that he'll become a bit of a pub question if we don't see much more of him. You know, who was the player that got substituted that led to Mick McCarthy's exit comments? You've seen more of him for the 23s since then. I think he's got confidence bordering on arrogance, dare I say it, just in the way he goes about the game and stuff, which can be a good thing if you can harness it. You know, we saw the way he went over and took over the Luke Chambers fist pump that night. He's an Irish lad who is, you know, talks a good game, and I like him. I think there's something there. The recent game I saw for the 23s is the best I've seen him for a while. He's been playing more centrally, sort of centre back.
Yeah, he did again this week as well.
And he can sort of burst out the back, and he's got something there. But there was only two fit and available players that didn't make the 18 at the weekend that have got first team experience, and that was him and Spence. So, you know, you've now got sort of Emmanuel back ahead of him in the pecking order. But Bree will be going, so that might open up a slot.
Yep, I think you're right.
Sam Chapman.
Chappers.
I've got a mate, Sam Chapman. I don't know if that's him. If it is Sam, hi. Where is the worst place you've seen Town play?
The worst place.
You can come at this from a fan's perspective as well.
The worst place.
I'm quite happy not to go to Tolka Park again. I've got no desire to go back to Shelbourne in pre-season. That was becoming a bit monotonous. It's a sort of a non-leaguey ground just outside of Dublin. You can kind of walk it outside of there, and yeah, it's all a bit dilapidated and wires hanging everywhere, and year after year that was wearing a bit thin.
The worst place.
Barnsley can do one as well. They can quite happily go up. I've got several bits of laptops scattered across the press box there because they've got those old flappy wooden school desks that if you lean on it very slightly, everything just flies.
Tell you the worst ground, I've not seen Ipswich play there, but the worst ground I've ever been to was Barnet Underhill, their old ground. Didn't like Underhill very much. Bad times. Worst place I've seen Ipswich play. I've seen them play at Scunthorpe, but I quite like old like grounds like that, though, really small. Scunthorpe's basically the entire thing is made of corrugated iron, but I quite like it, but it's not very nice.
Mm. Good.
That's Crufts.
And that's Crufts.
Crufts is on at the moment. A friend of mine went at the weekend.
Warren Page, our photographer, spoke a lot about Crufts in the car as well.
He also we talk about eating cream eggs with him. He eats it completely whole.
Yeah, who does that?
That's madness.
That made me a little bit angry, actually. Everyone knows you bite the top off, and then how do I describe the second part?
You describe it however you want.
You use your tongue to extrapolate the inner.
Right, you lick it out.
Yeah.
Right.
Just that little bit of dead air there. MJ Miller, how are we doing for time, Andy?
We're fine.
Are we? MJ Miller, at MJ Dumbarton, asks, Kilmarnock have offered 32-year-old Derby midfielder Craig Bryson a pre-contract. Given his wealth of championship experience, should a player of that ilk be brought in for League One next season to complement our young midfield talent?
That's what Cole Skews is for, isn't it? I think they're okay for midfield. Yeah. Like John Nolan's 26 years old. He's not. He's obviously young in championship experience, but he's not. He's not a kid. Mm. I think players like that will have a place at Ipswich next season. I think depending on what happens with Luke Chambers' contract,
mm-hmm.
you certainly would need somebody of that level of experience in that position. But midfield, I think they're okay.
Looking at the squad, centre mid's probably the one area that they're best stocked in. But you're right, I think there'll be a place for experience in there. It'd be naive to think you can just play a whole team of kids. Ollie Fares, does drawing against Town merit an instant sacking now?
Looks like it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Tony Southgate.
Yeah.
Our man, Tony. Do you think improved performances from players like Bart is to put themselves in the shop window and avoid the potential 50% pay cut that has been spoken about? I don't know if it will be quite as much as 50, but it will be a pretty hefty cut. Mr. McCarthy's been telling everyone about his text conversations with Joe Garner and pay cuts in the last few days as well.
I think it's cynical that Bart suddenly
just picked up his form because of that.
I think I don't think he intentionally dropped the ball in front of a striker at Nottingham Forest and things like that. I think it's a product of Bart being a bit more refreshed mentally. If we're talking specifically about Bart, I think it's taken him some time to get back to his best. High expectations. He had a World Cup, a new contract, change of goalkeeping coach coming into the season. A lot has changed for Bart, and I think he was tired mentally. A lot going on. No, I don't think he suddenly started deciding to play well because he's thought about his bank balance. I don't think that's right at all.
On the same subject to Bart, George William Brooks asks, can you see Bart staying or cash in due to his high wages? So we kind of touched upon that earlier. He would be one, potentially. We've said this many times. I can't see them keeping both Bart and Gherkin as senior goalkeepers. I just don't think that makes sense to have a big proportion of your wages going on two senior goalkeepers next year.
So that means a decision early then? With Gherkin out of contract, you're going to have to make that. You're either going to have to commit to Bart and his salary, and find out if he wants to stay, or you're going to have to make the decision that you're going to try and move him on and sign Gherkin up. So an early call.
Even if his, it was reported, and we don't know this, but it was reported at the time that it signed up to sort of close to $20,000 a week with that new contract. So even if it is a 40-50% cut, that's still a hefty old wage of 8-10 grand a week in League One, isn't it? So he would be probably the one financial millstone around their neck. So yeah, they might have to think about that. But last summer they might have got $3 million for him.
That was the offer from Birmingham.
You're going to get nowhere near that this time. You're almost kind of going to have to just take what you can get if clubs know that you want.
I think you're less than $1 million. You're looking at now.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
500.
The pin. Any tips for Cheltenham this week? I'm out on that one. Horse racing, not my bag.
It's not my bag either. But I'll give you a tip anyway. Do you want one for the Gold Cup?
Yes, please. Yeah.
Shattered Love at 25-1 for the Gold Cup. Good nag.
So, yeah?
That's all I've got to say on that.
You just picked a nice name.
But Shattered Love. Shattered Love is going to win the Gold Cup on Friday. Also, I've got a couple of Ipswich Town related runners in the Cheltenham Festival, if you're interested.
Yeah, go on.
The 4:50 on Wednesday, the Fred Winter Juvenile Champion Hurdle beat the judge, Alan Judge. That's basically him.
Yeah.
Is running at 25-1 in the 4:50 on Wednesday. And one for Mark Heath, the 2:10 per temps final stakes on Thursday. Aaron Ladd. Aaron Drynan. is running at 12-1 on Thursday. So two horses to look out for there in Cheltenham. Another tip for Cheltenham is do not, if you're a football player, urinate into a plastic cup and tip it over the balcony because you will get caught on camera.
Who were they playing for?
James Collins, who's currently ripping up League One with Luton, was one of them. And I believe somebody, who is that? MK Dons that I can't remember. But yeah, don't do that. That's my big tip. Do not do that.
Because it's
silly and disgusting. Also, the prawn sandwiches there are really good. I've been there a couple of times for the Gold Cup. Ate a lot of prawn sandwiches.
That's one I would like to tick off.
It's good. Let's do it. We'll do it next year.
Okay. Sam James, on a very similar theme, who do you think from the current squad is the biggest transfer risk? I think we've covered that, Sam. Yeah. The pin, another one. Apparently there were 60 miles per hour gusts during the game at West Brom. Was it that windy?
I didn't think so.
Quite windy. I don't know if it was that windy. So what's the worst weather you have ever encountered whilst covering town?
I've only covered Ipswich for 2 years, but the worst weather was at Bristol City last year, which was like, I think that was the pre-winds of the Beast from the East, or was it maybe after? But anyway, it was one end of the Beast from the East.
The after gust.
Or the pre-gust. Yeah. It was one of them, very, very cold, and I think it was a bit of hail and some snow. That wasn't bad. I'd covered some bad games weather-wise before, though. Mainly at Colchester.
The Portsmouth FA Cup replay springs to mind. I think that's the coldest I've ever been at a football match.
Did you have a Bovril?
Should
have done.
No. Does Bovril sort of cure all...
It gets into your bones. That's one of its major...
It just goes straight into the
marrow.
Yeah,
it just goes straight in. Because it's beef, it kind of like... It gets into the marrow of the fibre of your being.
Does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, you know how like Lucozade is like isotonic and it does all of that. You had your electrolyte water, didn't you, on the way home on
Does it
Saturday?
Replenish everything you need? Like salts? Definitely you're getting salts.
Yeah, you're very much... You're getting your week's worth of salt in a Bovril, and it will perk you up from the bones outward. So get yourself a Bovril's beef tea.
I think we're out.
Are we done?
I think we're done, yeah. I may have skipped a few, so apologies if I have. But any other business, Andy?
All the other business I've got is to say that you should look out for the John Banks Ride and Drive events coming near you. johnbanks.co.uk. Keep it johnbanks.co.uk. If you buy, let us know if you have bought a car from John Banks, because we'll get you up on the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. And cars to motorcycles, johnbanks.co.uk.
And that's all we need to say, really, I think, Stu.
Yeah, we've not really discussed... Well, we did discuss the Bristol City game a little bit in there, didn't we?
A little bit.
So we think there might be a few changes. We'll be setting off at lunchtime tomorrow. We'll be doing all the usual stuff that we do, so we'll see you in the week.
Yeah, see you in the week.